All of this being said, there's two verses in my life in the Bible that I have that have probably have been the most, how do I say it? They've grabbed me the tightest, they've been the loudest, they've been the most life-directing. And it's 2 Timothy verse 1 and 7 and 8, and that was where Paul is saying, it is the power of God unto salvation. And he says, therefore, and he talks about, and he says it this way, he says, so therefore do not be ashamed, for God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And that's something that I grabbed a hold of, or God grabbed a hold of me with that passage and that power and said, go forward. Said, God, and the first time I read it was out of the NIV version. And the NIV version said it this way, for God does not give us a spirit of timidity. And I grew up the most timid person on the planet. I'm sure there was others, but, and God said, that's not me in you. Think, I'm giving you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And then it's this other one. It's in Colossians chapter 3. Starting, it's a the verse that I'm gonna that I wanted to highlight is actually verse 17. And I'm gonna just read it real quick. But that's what this message is gonna be about, is this verse. So I'm just gonna read this one, and then we'll go back and I'm gonna talk about what we're gonna do this morning. It says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That has been something that has grabbed a hold of me right off the bat. As soon as I said yes to Jesus and started following Jesus, that I for some reason I went directly to the book of John. That was what was referred to me. It's like, read the book of John. It was great. It was excellent. And then I started reading the letters of Paul. And when I ran across some of these phrases, this power, the power of the word, they grabbed me so tightly, so firmly. They grounded me in truth. And I want to share something with you guys. And and I found these. I had to go through my bookshelf. This was my first Bible. It's amazing. I don't even, look it. Oh, wow. How cool is that? Do you have a Bible that can do that? Well, oh yeah, that was the first one. My little sister took the highlighter and colored in it. But you know, this Bible is a disaster in the way that there's love notes from my wife in there. Fantastic. I know this is. I even found one of the last messages I preached out of this Bible, and look, I wrote it in pen and ink on paper. I'm not saying I'm old or anything, but dang, this Bible has been through much. And this was one of my favorites. This was one of the most recent I used. It's a New King James Version, but that was the NIV version. And this was one I took. I got it as a gift. I don't remember exactly when. It might say it in here. 2007. Fantastic. A birthday present from you guys. So I actually took this Bible because I really liked the feel of it. And I said, I'm going to use this Bible to just read and read, and I'm not going to mark a single thing in it. And I found, and I determined, I set, like, I'm not going to write it, and there's not a single mark in this Bible. The pages are really clean. But you can see, look, it was on my lap a lot. And the reason I'm sharing this is because I want us to understand something and really get it, that anything in my life that is good, the Word of God has established it in me. It's the Word of God that has moved in me, through me, to where it comes out of me so much so that all of my thinking gets filtered through God's Word. But we've got to do this thing. We've got to be, there's got to be some alignment that takes place on our part. We've got to feed ourselves the real food. And the real food is His Word. And when we feed our soul with his food, our soul gets nourished. Our lives become transformed into his image. And when we live in this day, in this age where there's so many voices, it's the one true voice that's going to speak clear. It's the one true voice, his voice, is the one true voice that's going to speak with power, with significance, with purpose, with actual clarity, to where we get it and we actually can say, okay, this is a way to go that's good, true, right, pure. And so we've got to come to this conclusion from the beginning of our walk all the way to the end, my brothers and sisters, all the way to the end, that the Word of God is alive and rich and true. Now, those Bibles are, you know, I've used this for the last about 5 years. And I was looking at my notes, and I save all my notes. Today was the day. I officially have 500 messages in my iPad notes, from whether it's notes from speaking or something I've shared, and all of them are church God related. 500 of them. That's how much God is infused inside of me. And I'm sharing that with you because I'm going to tell you this, and this isn't about me, because this is all about Jesus. So I want to start in this passage of Scripture, Colossians chapter 3, and I want to open up this. I want to free any pastors or speakers or motivators. I want to set you free to rely on the Word of God. I know a lot of pastors will say these things. It's like, well, I don't want to read a lengthy passage because, I've had that said. I believe in the power of just sometimes just laying it out, and I'll interject and interrupt a couple of spaces and places. But for the most part, I'm just going to lay it out. So it's really just Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 17 is where we're going to be at this morning. It's 17 verses. It really doesn't take that much to read, but I don't know why I was compelled. Maybe because that Mike, what? Oh yeah, that was another way. I forgot about that. Thank you. She reminded me. Not just the paper words and the words there, but I had a thing. I think I've shared this. I know I've shared this with you guys. I used to, when I worked construction, I had a thing called a Walkman. You know, it was where you had a cassette tape in there, and you were able to play. And I had the Bible on tape, and I would just sit and listen to the Bible all day long while I was able to work. And I had this amazing boss that loved. It was good for him too, because he. And I want to share that part of my story in this too, at the end of, hopefully I'll have some time, because I loved what Stephen was sharing about us as a church, and I believe that there's a reasoning behind everything we do, and everything we do it in the name of Jesus. And when we do everything in the name of Jesus, and we say everything in the name of Jesus, I'd like to propose that it's done pretty well. Amen? It's done well, and it's done right, and it's done in a way that is effective. And when you set to live your life and your speech is set to do everything in the name of Jesus, to where everything I do is in Jesus' name, everything I say is in Jesus' name, it's going to be done and said well. Amen? Can you agree with me on that? Okay, you guys awake? Okay. A little bit. All right, let's go. So I'm reading out of the NIV version today, and mostly simply because that was that first, like, oh, got me. And it does not mean nearly inspired version. I know Glenn said that because he liked to make fun of it, but that is, no, it's the New International Version. It is inspired by God. Trust me. And if we want to have that argument, let's do it another day, but not right here, right now. Blake did an amazing study on Bible translations that are on our podcast that you can get to from our website. We have some pretty cool stuff going on here. I think it's neat. You know, one of the things that we're doing, and I'll just share this, guys, with you. I will get to this, I promise, I think. One of the things that we're doing, and one day we'll just be able to show pictures and stuff, but right here in this very space, we're doing everything we do here is in the name of Jesus, and we want to do it well, we want to do it effectively, we want to do it correctly, we want to do things that really bring glory to God. And we're beginning this reconstruction of our shower facility for the homeless here in town. And it's a pretty extensive and expensive project that we're taking on. The city has actually granted us the money to do it, which is so awesome. I mean, come on. I mean, just think about how awesome that is. That a municipality, a public entity, was given money by the federal government to give money to do good in their community, and they chose us to do it through. One of the avenues is to give to us so we can do well in this community. I mean, does that not just give you shivers and chills and be like, wow, how, and as even I know Stephen, if you didn't recognize it, how humbled he was to share the mass amount of ministry that takes place. And I just was in the same position. I was just like, I was breaking down. Like, I'm just so humbled that God is choosing to use us to make himself known in this community by the good that we do helping those in need. And it's something that our very own city in that big building right across the street looks down and sees, recognizes, and says, how can we help you do it even better? That's God. Come on. That's good. Amen. So Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. So we're going to go through this. And I will interrupt myself. And this might be one of these messages that if you want the notes afterwards, I could send it to you because it's really good. A lot of it's just scripture. But listen to this. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I like how right off the bat in this, how he talks about, like, he's all making a distinction between two different things, your heart and your mind. Set them both on Christ. Set everything, your entire being on Christ, your heart, your passions, your desires, set them on Christ. Your mind, how you think, set them on Jesus. It says, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And that word hidden is not like, oh, it's secret. It's hidden as it's tucked away in God. How cool is this? Come on, brothers and sisters. Your life, your soul is tucked away in the bosom of God. I mean, there's no better place I want my soul to be set in God. I mean, I cannot set my soul in anything else because everything else is just so fickle. And God is so solid. And our life is tucked away in God, hidden in Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Now, I want you to take note on something. He said, put to death these things, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Put those to death. Let them die. In fact, the way another translation reads it is to dismember them from you. It's almost as though it's the words of Jesus. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Remove it. Put them to death. And then he goes on to say this. In verse 7, is you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself. Look at this distinction. I want us to look at this distinction for a second. He says, put to death these things that are absolutely unacceptable to God. absolutely, with no question, unacceptable, not right. They will kill, steal, and destroy your very soul. Put them to death. But then he says, rid yourself. In other words, put them off. Get rid of these things. So there's these two distinctions. This thing is, without a doubt, you can't mess with. Sexual impurity, immorality, lust, evil desires, and greed. They have no place for a Christian. There's no place for those things to exist in a Christian's life. Now he says, you must also rid yourself of these things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of the image of its creator. You see what he's saying here is you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. The putting off the old and putting on the new is a part of the Christian way of living and walking in Christ. Yeah, we have baptism that symbolizes you go down as the old and you come up as the new. That's fantastic. And we baptized about a dozen a couple weeks ago or about a month ago, and it was amazing. It was an amazing time. Amen? Come on, that was a fun time in the Lord, that Christmas Eve service. That was excellent. So here's where I'm going to speak on some things. I'm going to share. So this is where I'm going to interrupt for a minute. So the way or method in which we break alignment with a lie, our old self, our old nature, is simply repentance, which is change the way you think, die to the old life, and live to the new life. We set our heart and mind on truth. We feed our heart and mind on truth. And in this new setting, a new agreement becomes established in our very soul. A new reality is seen and infused into you. A heavenly reality. And what is supposed to take place in your life as you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind and the remolding, softening of your heart, is this physical evidence of repentance. Some might call it proof in the pudding. What does that even mean? I've heard it a lot, but I think it means like, you know, as you taste it, that's what you're going to get. And so there needs to be physical evidence. This is what should take place in a Christian's life. Physical evidence of repentance. Proof that makes repentance binding. This is where it gets a little deep and it might get a little gritty, so I'm just forewarning you for a second. You bring your whole being into agreement with the truth. You see, physical obedience opens the door for spiritual breakthrough. And repentance is a binding to the Spirit of God, His working, His molding, His life in us. And that's so, but that repentance needs to take forth in not just a change of mind, but in a change of actions where our life actually is different. There's different things that take place in our life. There's different movings. There's different actions. There's different responses that we have that is not the old self any longer. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Because that's really critical for us to really grasp and say, yeah, that's what it should look like. And see, here's what I want to say this. I think this is really neat. I don't know. I like this as the Lord gave it to me. Right actions, okay, wait, let me reread this. Physical obedience opens the door for spiritual breakthrough. And in turn, spiritual breakthrough paves the way for physical obedience. Did I just do a little spin around, turn around, hokey pokey thing? A little bit. But I want us to get this because I believe this is a kingdom principle. Right actions release right thinking. Right thinking release right actions. They go together. They mold. They weave in and out of each other. And there's a very real potential. This is an offering of a very real potential that it could even develop right emotions. Now that's freedom, right? Because our emotions wreak havoc with us. Come on, brothers and sisters, don't they? And it doesn't matter how young or old you are. And I'm going to tell you straightforward and straight up, it doesn't matter if you're male or female. Us dudes, we have some emotions that go through us. We just cover them up a little better. But they're real. Right, Mark? I don't know why I want to pick the other. So here's something I want us to hear and see. You see, because it's not hypocritical to do something right that you don't feel like doing. I would even dare to say that it's more hypocritical to call myself a person of faith, a believer, a follower of Jesus, and only do what I feel like doing. Right? Because I wanted to ask you a question. Use the best example on the planet ever given to mankind. His name is Jesus. Did Jesus feel like going to the cross? I'm 100% positive he did not feel like doing that. And what did he do anyway? He obeyed the Father and set us free in doing it. You see what it's really about? It's not fake it till you make it. It's obedience. Obedience. A couple of quick examples, and then I'll get back into Scripture. A couple of quick examples are this. And this is where it gets a little gritty, but so I'm just, again, forewarning you. Sexual purity produces a healthy understanding of marital intimacy. Okay, I'll say it the opposite. Where there is sexual immorality, there's unhealthy understanding in marital intimacy. Where there's sexual purity, you have a healthy understanding, a healthy working of marital intimacy. It's right thinking produces right actions produce right thinking. That's the stuff we die to. We die to sexual immorality. We cut it off, we kill it, we crucify it. We say, no more in my house. No more in my life. It's dead. That way of life is dead. And it's a choice we make to die to it. Just like the choice that Jesus made to go to the cross. It's the choice we make to tap into the power of God. To set me free. To walk free. And I'll use another example. Maybe it's a little less gritty, but it might be more gritty for some. Cheerful giving produces a biblically correct understanding about money. Do you know what I'll just gonna be straightforward in the room. Anybody and everybody in this very room, if you have an issue with passing the basket, it's because you're stingy and greedy. Just bottom line. You don't have a healthy biblical understanding about money. See, money is meant to serve you. You're not meant to serve it. And when we use it to bring glory to God, to be used by God, we get a healthy understanding of what it's for. In other words, it's not mine. It's His that He allows me to be a good steward of. Amen? I know that's might be a tough one to swallow, but it's one that we got to grab a hold of because, again, obedience to those things that God tells us to do, because He says that's the one thing He says die to is what? Greed. Greed is idolatry. Greed is I want more, I need more, it's mine. How dare you even ask for me to give? I had a person who was coming to church here for a year, and I compelled him, challenged him to actually go farther. give unto the Lord. He got so offended at me. He said, how dare you even ask me that? I've come to this church for a year now. I've come to this church for a year. I've given you my time by being here. And now you want my money too? And he sailed on. Money is meant to serve you, not to serve. You're not meant to serve money. It's why he refers to greed as idolatry, because we aren't created to worship money. We're only created to worship God. Amen? So I'm going to get back into the scripture, verse 11, because I want to get to the end of this, because it's really good even as we go through it. So verse 11 says this: here there is no Gentile, Jew, or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. I love this because it depicts what I believe what we have here, which is we work really hard about our wording, about everything that we say and do, that it's in Jesus' name, that we don't refer to people in need as even people in need. We refer to them as our neighbors. We love our neighbor. We feed our neighbor. We help our neighbor. That's what Jesus said to do. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the only way to even, so we don't, we work really hard at, and I think you should do this as an individual, as we do as a church, work really hard at not categorizing or putting people in classes. It's a thing that is unbiblical. It's a way that we look at people with presuppositions. A presupposition is something that we developed. I presuppose this about you because you are this way or that way, because you drive this that way, because you color this way or that way, or because you dress this way. And when I presuppose something about you, that opens the door up for prejudice. And a prejudice is not of God. God is not prejudiced. He says it right here. There's neither Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free. And this was offensive to these people because this was important to them. This had value. And let me tell you something, I am not American or un-American. Hello? I know that might offend you, but I am neither American nor not American. I don't know what I am. I did 23andMe, and the only thing I could figure out is that I am a Neanderthal. It's like it didn't help a bit.
I knew we were brothers.
Yeah. It's really a joke. I didn't know. It's like, okay, yeah. He's like, see if I can find out somebody that I was related to, that, because I still don't to this day know who my biological father is. And I'm okay with that because I know who my heavenly father is. Come on, brothers and sisters. And I mean that with the most genuineness I can mean it with. So let's go on, because this is good stuff, and I know we're in it. We're in it. Therefore, verse 12: as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. To clothe yourself or to put on Christ is very similar. Isn't the wording very similar to putting on the armor of God? It is, huh? Chad was sharing with us yesterday morning in the men's prayer how God had revealed to him this awesome truth and this awesome, I call it like a vision of what God, how much this is. And in talking about the armor of God, as we put on the armor of God, he said, all we're really doing is putting on Jesus. And I love it because he broke it down. He said, because Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our truth. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is the word of God, our double-edged sword. So when we put on these things, that what Jesus tells us to, the armor of God, and we put on grace and kindness and humility, forgiveness, patience, gentleness, we're putting on Christ. And it's I believe it is an action. It's something that we actually have to do. We have to choose to put on these attributes. Hello? By default, you will not operate in them. Default, flesh will come out. In other words, we can't just walk around waiting for patience to happen to us. Hello? We can't just walk around just carelessly, casually, waiting for, you know, gentleness to come over us, a wave. Isn't that what I described as that's really kind of the essence of hypocrisy? Waiting for me to feel something to move me to be kind, to be sweet, to be gentle, to be humble. And we have to choose to put it on, put him on. And in putting him on, we look like Jesus. Whoa, that just came to me. Put on Jesus and you look like him. Maybe it was there all along. So let the peace of Christ, this is verse 15, rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful, and let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. You know something I really love about my grandchildren, all of them, is, man, they just love to sing. They love to sing, and I love it. I love that they love, these girls love to sing, and I can't wait to hear Oliver's voice sing. I don't want him to grow up. I'm trying to make deals with all my grandkids to stay small. And they all take the deal. They all take it. Juliet's the one that she's taking them. She's the, because she's the youngest. She doesn't understand it. I say, will you? And I'm setting her up to be like, Papa, you're just, I don't know, you're crazy. I said, Juju, you got to promise me you won't get bigger. You got to stay small. You promise? Oh, I promise, Papa. I'll stay small. Like, man, if only. So I want them to stay small and just precious. I love that, but I also want them to grow up glorifying God. Amen? Amen. I know that's, you know, that's my heart is for children, not just mine, but all children. So nothing blesses me more than just children that just love to sing. And I'm wondering why we get so grown up. And we get so, I don't know, careful about how we sound. You know, I'm thinking, I think there's something precious about the childlikeness that Jesus compels us to be like. It's that uninhibited, just, I can let my voice just belt it out. Don't care how I sound. Or how on key, off key I am, I'm going to sing to Jesus. And I love that. Love that. Don't you, Steve? It's awesome, huh? Hearing the granddaughters sing?
Definitely.
Definitely, yeah.
Oh, my
goodness.
Yeah. I see Maddie today, and she had her eyes closed, and
mm-hmm.
her heart was all in it.
Amen. Oh, man, there's something glorious about a child that gives just sings to the Lord. I would like to propose that there's something even more glorious about you and I just laying down the stuff that gets in the way to just give glory to God and sing it. Let it belt. Come on. Let it out. And I know we don't sound like Noel. I know that. I know that. I don't sound like Noel. But I know that that voice that comes out of my mouth, God likes when I give it to him. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I love that we love to sing here. I love it. This is the verse 17. All of that to get here. And whatever you do, Other translations see in everything you do, or in all things that you do, whatever you do. So that means everything. Whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, I'd like to share, I'm going to go back to me, you know, listening to the word of God, the Bible on the job site. And the reason I want to share this is because I think a lot of us are in this place and space in our lives where you, if you don't work for somebody, there's interactions that we have with other people. How many of you interact with people throughout the week? I think everybody should raise their hand, like we do. Yeah. So in interacting with people throughout our day, when everything we say and do is to in Jesus' name, it's going to do something. It's going to spark people to either get on board. It'll offend, or it could even try to, you know, push them to consider what's different about you. Why do you do that? Why are you being this way? Why do you guys give away so much? Why do you guys help people that should help themselves? You know, when we do the things that God tells us to do and we do it all in the name of Jesus, then what it opens up, and it opens up this, I believe it opens up this opportunity to really share a powerful testimony of God's grace and goodness, and not only in your life, but it's available for other lives. And you know, as I got radically saved as a young man, and actually I worked for my boss, my old boss, before I got saved. And it was the summer I started working for him, is at the end of that summer is when I actually got radically saved. So he saw something in me as a young man that, like, something was changing. Something drastically changed in me. And it was so noticeable that when it came down to things like putting a cassette tape in my ears and working, he saw that as a benefit to him. Because what was happening inside of me was there was a transformation taking place, and it was being carried out in action. And the only action that I could that I knew to do when I was on that job site working for him was then the Lord compelled me to do this, and I want you to consider this, young or old, consider this. Lord, bless him. May the work that I do that he's paying me to do make him 10 times what he's paying me. And I asked the Lord to do that. Lord, make him so much money for the work that I'm doing that it'll bless him so much that he'll see that me on the job site with Jesus in me makes a difference even in his bank account, whether he even realizes it or not. And I sought that. I prayed that. Because everything I did it in the name of Jesus. And all I wanted to do was make money for my boss. Now, that sounds like a greed thing, but it's not, because I wanted to do it in the name of Jesus and give glory to God, to where God was getting glorified in me and through me. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, to this very day, when the moment, the day that I left and said, I'm going into ministry full time, and this was after a lot of years of making him a lot of money, he said, well, and I know I've shared these things with you guys before, but it's really to the power of the testimony of God doing stuff, is he said, well, I know I can't win against God. God's going to beat me. I'm not, you know, he wasn't a believer at the time. So, but here's what I want to do. I want to bless you. I want to give you a bunch of money. It was like a severance thing. It's like, but I'm quitting. It's like, I know, but you've made me so much money. I want to bless you with a bunch of money to go into ministry for the first year, where you don't have to worry about even working. I didn't ask for that. He just did it. And to this day, he's still in town, still in business, and he's one of my good friends. And he had a wife that was really, it was difficult marriage. turned him away from God more than pushed him towards God. And it wasn't long that after his kids were grown up and out of the house that ended. And now he's remarried to a godly woman, a Christian. And he goes to church and he is a believer in Jesus to this right now, this day. Right now, this day. And God is still continuously blessing him. And we become such close friends that where we could actually, like, you know, he's one of these guys that he's got these mitts, like these hands that are like pipe wrenches, you know, and you grab a hold of it and you're like, ow. And so I don't even go there anymore. I just walk up to him and I just grab a hold of him and hug him. And he's like, oh, that's just weird. I don't do that kind of stuff. I know, but I do it anyway. And I love that God is God, because in simply this verse did that. This verse saved that man's soul. Do you hear that and see that? Because everything I did in the name of Jesus. And I worked my tail off. And my wife will testify. My kids will say, yeah, you were never home, Dad. I know. But I was doing it in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, Jesus was made known to this man. Amen. And right now, I don't know if you guys know the hotel that's going out there on 12 Bridges. That's his. He owns it. He's building it. It's like a second story now, the La Quinta Hotel. Because God is pouring out blessings in him. And he's a contributor to this ministry. And those numbers that we put up there are part of his doing, because he gives a healthy amount at the end of each year still to this ministry. And I'm going to tell you this because I'm saying this because I believe God is doing something amazing in us and through us and in individuals right here, right now, right today. Is everything that we do is in the name of Jesus to bring glory to God, and everything, and when we do it in the name of Jesus, it's going to be done well. And this phrase is a little bit challenging to say because it seems wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. Is we make Jesus look good. Now, I'll back that up and say, you can't make Jesus look any better than he is. Right? That was weak. Right? You can't make Jesus look better than he is. In fact, we usually get in the way. Hello? Okay, everybody's head went down like this. Like, oh, yeah. But when we do it in his name and say it in his name, all we're doing is giving him full reign to look good in us and through us. Amen? Amen. Worship team, come on up here, because I'm going to just end in a prayer and we're going to glorify God. And we're moving in directions and we're moving in ways in this fellowship that are exciting. And there's changes. But I'm going to tell you this, and I want you to be assured of this. Every change we make is in the name of Jesus. It's not in the name of the salt mine. It's not in the name of Blake, Eric, Stephen, Noel, or anybody else. It's in the name of Jesus. Amen? So let's pray, and I pray this over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, may we bring glory to you, and may we say, with every breath inside of us, may we say this and declare this with our heart, our mind, and our entire being. Jesus, be known inside of me. Be known through me. And may everything I do bring glory to you. And may people, those that bump into me, those that I have intentional relationships with, may they see you, Jesus, shining through me and bring glory to you. And may eyes be opened up. May hearts be softened to receive the full gospel of your grace and kindness and goodness. In Jesus' name, move in us and through us. Oh, we just want to do all that you have us to do. We say yes to your will. Yes to your will today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.